Welcome to Fusion, a podcast for Relay FM members where I talk to hosts from various shows about a single topic. My name is Stephen Hackett, and this month I'm joined by Casey Liss of Analog and Rosemary Orchard from Automators, and we're going to talk about studio stuff, Mac Studio, Studio Display, our plans, our dreams. Casey, how are you?
I am very well indeed, because I have a monitor on its way to my house right now. Well, that's not entirely true. It's still processing, but you get the point. It is eventually going to be on my desk, and I could not be happier.
Yeah, my Mac Studio is apparently in Alaska as of this morning, but UPS is very determined to deliver it to me today. They insist that it's coming today.
My geography is not great, but I get right. The impression that Alaska, as far as American terms go, is the wrong side of America to everything else.
It's pretty far away from me, so I expect it tomorrow. Rosemary, how are you? How's life?
Life's pretty good. Like an hour before we started recording, I had a knock at my door and the UPS man ran away, but fortunately left a large brown box behind containing a Mac Studio. So it's sitting here waiting for me to not immediately plug it in and start recording a podcast on it 30 seconds later. But that's my evening program.
I admire your self-control, because I would have basically said to the two of you, oh, sorry, can't record today. Something's come up. I got to go.
Yeah. I keep telling Mary, it's like one evening this week, I'm going to take my desk apart, because, you know, I'm not just replacing like a Mac Mini, like I'm replacing a Mac Pro, which is actually like on a side table, John Syracuse style. Mm-hmm. And so I've got to like rerun a bunch of stuff, and I'm not quite sure where all the USB is going to go. So like mine's going to be a project, and I've taken the opportunity to make it even harder for myself that I'm going to replace the rug that's under my desk, and I have it. So it's like, well, I've got to pull the desk out from the wall to do all this wiring. I'll just pull it all the way out, put the new rug down, put the desk back, do all the wiring. So I have hours of work ahead of me whenever mine shows up.
Yeah, I'm doing the same thing with, I've got a USB switch because I've got my work Mac and my personal Mac, and so I've got a USB switch to switch between them, which is a great idea, but I upgraded the USB switch, so I have to rerun all of the cables at the same time. But pro tip for people, sit-stand desk makes it much easier. You just raise the desk up, and then you don't have to like crawl in a really small gap on the floor.
You know, the easy solution to these problems for the two of you is to just not care about cable management, and then it's very simple to wire things.
I mean, if you looked at my desk right now, you wouldn't believe that I care about cable management. There's a lot of cables on my desk. There's a lot of computers on my desk, to be honest. Like, there's a lot just on my desk. I should probably tidy it at some point.
Okay, so Stephen, you have a Mac Studio coming, and you're pairing it with the XDR, which I am jealous of. Mm-hmm. But Rosemary, what is the rest of your computing situation look like?
Well, currently, to my right, I have a 24-inch iMac, the purple one, which I love. It is, unfortunately, however, fairly underpowered for the work that I've been doing, which is why the Mac Studio is coming. So there is also a studio display, theoretically, with my name on it somewhere. At the very least.
Also in Alaska.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they haven't told me it's in Alaska. They haven't actually told me it exists yet, other than the, well, I guess we'll pre-authorize your card side of things. But that will be going on the right side of my desk with the studio display. In the middle, I'm keeping my 34-inch ultra-wide screen, because I love ultra-wide screens and they work very well for me. And then, yeah, on the left-hand side of my desk, I have the 16-inch Intel MacBook Pro, which I unfortunately got before Apple did the M1. 16 inches, which is a bit of a shame, but it works for my day job, so that's fine. But yeah, I'm looking forward to rearranging things so that I can have a floating studio display, because I went for the Visa mount option, which I think is something that I'm glad that they offer it, and I'm glad it seems to have come out that you will be able to get it replaced with a regular stand at the Apple Store, which to start with, it didn't look like they were going to offer that, which was a shame.
Yeah, and I actually have some follow-out for ATP about that. I think y'all were talking about how the foot would be changed, and if you look at the take apart, it's exactly what I thought it would, how I thought it would work. It looks like you have to take the display off, because of the screws that mount the foot to the chassis are on the inside, which is how they've done the IMAX since like 2007 or something. So it probably, I would imagine that's how it would work, unless there's some way to like expose those from the outside, but I don't think it's like the iMac Pro where you could switch yourself And like our friend Quinn Nelson and a bunch of other people had trouble with that. If you remember, like that was pretty cheapo metal mm-hmm. on those things. Yeah. And mm-hmm. so maybe they learned their lesson. But the Vesa mount definitely gives people a lot of options. On my PC, I have the 4K Dell that I use on a Vesa mount. And I wouldn't want it every day. But for like that setup, or maybe you, like yours, Rosemary, where you have multiple machines, it obviously mm-hmm. gives you the most options.
Yeah, I also find just from a desk space perspective, it gives you a lot more because you don't have like the foot on your desk where inevitably, you know, you end up with something going behind your monitor stand or behind your iMac or whatever it is. And, you know, fishing around, especially it always happens to me while I'm podcasting, like the Apple Pencil will have like somehow gone behind the iMac stand. Because my iMac is not on a Vesa mount. It's on a regular stand because I didn't think that through. So I always end up losing things behind there. And I find it just ends up being a bit easier to just float things. Plus, when you actually want to clean your desk, you can just push the displays back and you have lots of space.
What are you going to do with the iMac?
That is a good question, which I am awaiting the response from a couple of different friends and family members because... I mean, it's a great machine. It's just not good enough to be running like multiple Node applications and Xcode Simulator in two different like versions of the app. So iPad and iPhone at the same time. It kind of at some point grinds to a halt and just goes, I don't think I can do this. And it gets to the point where you start thinking you're imagining it. Really? And then you realize, no, I'm genuinely sitting here waiting 1 minute for a page to refresh because of a change that I've made. Cool. I'll go get some chocolate. So it's not good for my diet, basically, unfortunately. But aside from that, it's wonderful.
So, Stephen, how did you end up deciding a Mac Studio for yourself? Because you got a very, very nice Mac Pro. And I say that with no sarcasm. Like, the Mac Pro is really, really nice that you got. And I know that for you, more than most, having like oodles and oodles of internal storage is something you want and use. So what was the math process / justification / mini Marco sitting on your shoulder with devil horns that got you to give up your beloved Mac Pro to end up with a Mac Studio?
Yeah, it's really a couple things. I am disappointed that I'm going to have to move some storage external. I mean, really, I guess just my Time Machine. That's internal now. And my nightly clone that I run with Carbon Copy Cloner is also internal. Those will have to move external. So I've got some cases for the SSDs to go in. Really, though, the Mac Studio is going to be more powerful than my Mac Pro, which is a little sad. But that's just the way it is when you buy something at the end of the run, right? Some people who bought like the G5 Tower back in the day when the Intel iMac came out, it was faster than their G5 Tower, you know, that had liquid cooling and all this junk in it. So really, I feel like it's time to move to Apple Silicon for my main workflow. I've had Apple Silicon notebooks since the beginning. But the other part of it is there's still some value in the Mac Pro. It's only sinking, let me tell you, as someone who has watched this over the last 6 months. And now it's actually really bad because there's a flood of them seems to be on the market because people are doing what I'm doing. So that's a bit of a bummer. But, you know, it's going to meet my needs. It's going to sit on my desk. It's going to be nice and quiet. And I ended up with I ordered the M1 Max. I did not do the Ultra. I decided to spend that money on storage instead of CPU. And honestly, it's still on paper faster than my Mac Pro at almost everything. And definitely will meet my needs for the next couple of years and kind of see what happens with the Mac Pro in the future. But I just felt like it was time to move to Apple Silicon. I wanted to get something out of my Mac Pro. I've got a you know, maybe part it out, maybe sell it as one whole unit. We'll see. I haven't really gotten into that too deeply yet. If you want to buy a Mac Pro and you're out there, hit me up, is what I'm saying. Yeah. Get a special member discount.
The famous Mac Pro that has done so many relay shows.
That's right. I will sign John Syracuse's name on the inside of it if you want me to.
Ooh, that's enough for people can't turn down.
So how much RAM and how much storage did you end up with? And then, Rosemary, I'd love to hear what your build is as well, please.
Yeah, so let me just pull up my Apple Note real quick. So I have on its way the M1 Max I did the big M1 Max, so 10-core CPU, 32-core GPU, and then I maxed out the memory and storage. So on the Max, it's 64 gigabytes of unified memory, so I went with that, and the 8-terabyte SSD. If I had not done 8 terabytes, I would have done the M1 Ultra, but I couldn't justify both.
Yeah, that's a lot of money for that big SSD, and it'll be amazing, don't get me wrong, but that is a lot of money. Rosemary, what'd you do?
I went at the other end of the Mac Studio price range from within the Max range. So I've got pretty much the base spec. So 32 gigabytes of RAM, 10-core CPU, 24-core GPU, and a terabyte of SSD. Because as much as I love the idea of just having all the things on my internal hard drive, I have found with a little bit of, logic in the way that I organize things. So for example, projects like older podcast recordings and stuff get moved into a different folder in Dropbox, which is then not synced to my local device. It is synced down to my Synology, so I actually do have a physical on-site backup of that information. But it means that I don't actually need to store everything internally. And because this computer is not portable, I don't really mind plugging in a hard drive or two to do other things on, like a carbon copy clone or something. I've kept mine fairly minimal, which was also good for my bank account. My accountant has yet to murder me, so I'm feeling like this is probably a good decision. It's pretty good. And I don't know about you, Casey, if you find plugging hard drives into a desktop an annoyance, or if you're okay with that.
I don't really mind it for a desktop, and I'm kind of following the Marco Arment desktop laptop metaphor. It's not exactly the same because this is my only computer now, whereas Marco's rocking, I believe, a 16-inch for his desktop duties, and then he also has a 14-inch for other things. But when I sit down at the desk, I have my 14-inch MacBook Pro, my MacBook Pro here, which is using the same low GPU core count as you, Rosemary. But so I have the MacBook Pro, and I connected it to a CalDigit TS4, and that has connections to all the things, including an external hard drive enclosure and a few other things. So basically, the advantage is if I don't want to use my current main monitor, which is the LG 5K Ultra, fine. Then it's a one cable solution. The ultra fine, for complicated reasons that are not worth getting into, needs its own cable to run natively. And so it's a two cable solution at worst, but I get, everything under the sun that I would ever want connected, physically connected to the machine. And so that works out real nicely.
And you can put those two Thunderbolt cables on the same side, right? So it can still pretty neat and tidy on your desk.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, I just need a 3D printer so you can print like a little holder to hold the cables exactly in the right position adjacent to one another, so you can unplug them and plug them back in.
Do you remember that Tesla vaporware video of like the robot arm charging the car? Get one of those.
Yeah, I do need one of those.
I would start with the 3D printed holder and then upgrade to the robot arm, because I think the robot arm might need a little bit of fine tuning there.
I needed an excuse for both a 3D printer and yet another Raspberry Pi. So here it is. I think you've given me both.
Octoprint is a great project for Pi. So there you go. Done.
Didn't see, problem solved. No, I'm super excited for my studio display. I did not order a Mac Studio. I think I really probably would have if I still wanted to live the two computer lifestyle. And having lived both, I can make just passionate defenses for either. I really loved having a 27-inch iMac and then later an iMac Pro and a 13-inch MacBook Pro. There's many, many advantages to that. Currently, this pendulum for me has swung to the single computer lifestyle, and there's advantages there as well. The Mac Studio looks super awesome. Well, I don't know if it looks awesome, but it certainly seems like it will be an awesome machine. But I didn't fancy that, since I'd spent a fair bit of money on this computer, this MacBook Pro. But I have been dying for a Apple first party display that does not cost as much as a Civic, and so I am super excited to get my my studio display sometime in the next couple of weeks. And what I think I'm going to do, so I currently have the LG 5K directly in front of my face, and that's Visa whatever mounted in front of me on a dual monitor stand, and then to my right I have the extraordinarily unremarkable but serviceable LG 4K 24-inch with some preposterous name. I don't remember the model name. And that's over kind of to my right-hand periphery. And so what I plan to do is put the studio display, which I also got Visa equipped, directly in front of me, and then downgrade the Ultra fine to the right-hand side as an accessory display that I will use or not use, you know, as the situation sees, as I see fit based on the situation. So I'm really, really stoked. I personally can't live with a non-retina display anymore. I'm snooty in that regard. So I don't know how you do that 32-inch, you know, monstrosity in front of you. Not to say you're wrong by any means. I know so many people that love it, but it's just not for me. And so I'm super excited to go 2 up. And that's another example, actually, of something that I go back and forth about. You know, when I had the 27-inch iMac, I went, you know, single display. Now I've got the laptop life again. And so I'm going dual display or triple display if I use the laptop screen. And I fancy that again. That pendulum has swung the other direction as well.
Well, we also have a new product name for Apple, the Lapbook. That's a thing now. they just need to sort out some of the ventilation issues. Though I hear the fans on the 14-inch Macs do like basically nothing ever, pretty much, you know, because the machine just works really well with the cooling, which was one of the attractions with the studio, I have to say.
Yeah, my 14-inch, I have heard the fans. So I've had this thing since November, I believe. And I think I've heard the fans 2 or 3 times. And in very Casey fashion, I think the only time has been when I'm transcoding like one or multiple things at once using FFmpeg, which is huge Casey energy.
It's FFmpeg or it's Swift UI development. The two hardest things known to humankind on computers. Yeah.
There is one other situation in which you can make the fans run on an M1 machine, which is if you open multiple JetBrains IDEs at the same time, because they're all written in Java.
Yep, I believe that for sure.
Yeah, there's a little bit of...
No, Java's good. It lets everyone run the same code.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a memory leak in there, but don't worry, it's fine. WebStorm's supposed to be using 10 gigabytes of RAM. That's a new one. I'll quit that a moment just so that I don't...
It's good and normal. Totally fine.
I'll just quit that so that I don't randomly disappear mid-podcast.
Could I interest you in a Mac Pro with 96 gigabytes of memory?
Like, I mean, it's interesting, but I don't think I have the physical space. I basically live in an apartment the size of a shoebox. So for me, like, the Mac Studio wins in more ways than one just because I don't have that much space available.
But it doubles as a seat, you know?
I don't think it's going to be as good as the Herman Miller Aeron.
It has wheels, though. You can roll around on it.
It could be a skateboard.
So the three of us have followed Apple and used the Mac for a long time now. It's pretty rare that we get a totally new product introduction, right? The most recent one was the 12-inch MacBook, and we all know how that ended. I assume the studio line will end in a much better place. But do y'all have any thoughts or anticipation around what else could earn that name in the future? Or do you think this is kind of a one-time use? Or do you see Studio expanding into a fuller range?
I think for me, what I would like to see, and I don't expect this, but what I would like to see is kind of a shuffling about of Apple's marketing terms. And I think I might have stolen this from Upgrade. I heard it somewhere, so apologies. Maybe it was connected. But what I'd like to see is have the studio line be what Mac nerds and Apple nerds used to call prosumer. And not to say that's exclusive to the Apple world, but I heard it the most referring to, you know, the Apples, the Apple computers of years ago, where you have something that's beefier than just a regular computer for a regular person, but it's not quite to the level of like a Mac Pro or something like that. And I would love to see Studio occupy that space. And so to my eyes, you know, you've got the Mac Studio. I think, you know, like the MacBook Studio would perhaps be the new name for what we're currently calling MacBook Pros, perhaps. And then you have Pro for something that is legitimately, truly professional. So Mac Pro, maybe an iMac Pro. I don't think the 27-inch iMac Pro is coming back camp, but you never know. And maybe there's a whole new kind of computer with, I don't know, more ports or bigger screen or something. Maybe they bring back like the 17 or something like that. And that becomes the MacBook Pro. And so I would love to see, you know, MacBook and MacBook Air be the kind of consumer stuff. Mm-hmm. MacBook Studio is what we currently call MacBook Pro. That's the prosumer stuff. Mac Studio, same story. And then like an iMac Pro, potentially, although I doubt it, a Mac Pro, perhaps even a MacBook Pro, become the truly professional grade equipment. I don't think it'll ever happen, but I think it would do a good job to clear the very muddy waters we have today over who is using a Pro and who isn't. Because so many regular people are using Pro devices that arguably don't need to. And you could, in many cases, count me in on that as well.
Yeah, and Gruber has said this, that Apple uses the word pro when really the word nice is more applicable sometimes. And, you know, I think about the weirdness that's happening at the low end of Apple's notebook line, where you have the 13-inch MacBook Pro with Touch Bar.
Yep.
Still hanging out there with the M1. I assume the Touch Bar is going to go away, so let's just set that aside. But like, maybe there's a slot there for your MacBook Studio. You know, maybe it is 13 inches, but it's kind of in between the Air and the Pro, especially if the Air gets like really thin and light, like the rumors are saying. Maybe there's room there. I mean, I think that there's totally room for something that sort of splits the difference. And what it does is it frees the Mac Pro up in particular to be like the most Mac Pro it can be, right? Like, because the Studio sits above the iMac in terms of price and performance, where the iMac Pro used to, you know, Apple can still sell a $10,000 Mac Pro. And like, what would that look like in the notebook line? What would it look like in the iPad line? I mean, I don't know what they're doing, right? This may be that this is just what this machine is called, and it's only ever this one machine, but it sure is interesting to consider Apple expanding their line, because, you know, the old grid of four is long gone. You know, the professional consumer desktop notebook, that's been gone in a long time. Where we've been has kind of been the same, you know, for 10 or 15 years now, especially as the iMac sort of spread its wings from consumer all the way up to the professional range. It's like, yeah, maybe this is an opportunity to reset. And with Apple Silicon, it gives them the tools to like really make distinct, different machines, where maybe they didn't feel like they could do that in the Intel era.
For me, I think a lot of the problem with the Pro line is the fact that people feel like they need a Pro when they really, really don't. The number of people who I know have said, oh, right, I should get the Pro machine. And I'm like, you're barely opening pages once a month. You do literally everything in a browser. And if you use Safari, you wouldn't need 64 gigabytes of RAM like you do when you use Chrome. So I feel like a lot of it is basically people want to feel like they're a pro. And as you said, Stephen, you know, it's nice rather than actually pro. I think that having something, maybe just do away with the Pro name and just have, you know, Studio and, I don't know, workshop. I'm picking random words here, but you know, like the workshop the machine would garage. Be the machine that you could, yeah, you can just like, you know, wheel it into the garage and plug it in and get on with your stuff out there. You know, they had an actual garage in I think it was the 14-16 inch release video in that keynote. Like, it took me a while to make the connection between why is he doing this, like, in where he parks his car, because it's a garage. He's doing it in a garage and he's using GarageBand. It took me a very long time to spot that. But yeah, I feel like there's a lot of room for that. And maybe instead what they should be doing is saying, like, so do you want the heavy machine that can do all of the things, or do you want the light machine with the battery that'll go forever? Because that really is the difference between the 13-inch MacBook Pro and the 14-inch MacBook Pro, right? There's a half-pound difference in weight, 3 hours of extra battery life, not-so-great camera and everything. But the machine itself is smaller as well, like, not just in the display compartment, it's also slimmer. You know, that is the kind of machine that I actually have a 13-inch M1 MacBook Pro as well, because that's what they had in the refurb store. They didn't have an Air. And, like, that's the machine that I go, oh, right, if I might need my Mac, I'll just chuck it in my handbag, because it's, you know, it's not that bad. It's 3 pounds versus 4.7 for the 16-inch M1. I think that there's just a lot of people who've got this idea in their head that they need a Pro machine, possibly because they're coming from a world where their computer is crap and doesn't have the power that they need. And that's partially probably because it's locked down for security reasons, not letting them just install any random thing. So they assume that they need more power to be able to do all the things. And I suspect with a little bit of re-education, people might realize that maybe they don't need Pro. They actually just need good.
I mean, some of that's on Apple, I think. You know, if we run the clock back anywhere between 6 and 2 years ago, where the MacBook Air was just really falling behind. And Apple's answer was, go buy the 13-inch MacBook Pro. They even said it in the keynote, that one with no touch bar and only the two ports. Like, hey, if you like the MacBook Air, this is now the machine for you. But they kept selling the MacBook Air, and people kept buying it, and it did fall further and further behind. And so even though Apple can like push the reset button now with Apple Silicon, I feel like they have some more explaining to do to consumers walking in with $1,200 to buy a laptop, because that's still a little messier than it should be. But you're right, the MacBook Air is enough for most people. I mean, including, I mean, not what Casey's doing, but like the way that I use a notebook, it would be plenty. I bought the Pro because I like having the ports on the rare occasion I need them. But it's amazing how good the consumer level is. And really, that hasn't been true for a while.
It's funny you bring up ports as well, because my dad is looking to replace a not terribly old, but yet still aging 13-inch MacBook Pro, an Intel one. And I was talking to him over the weekend about what his needs are. And a long story short, I don't think his computing needs are particularly strong, but he does plug things into his computer. And what we ended up doing was backing ourselves into, oh, you should probably get a MacBook Pro, not necessarily because of speed, like you said, Stephen, but because of ports. And this is where I think my fantasy world, where there's an in-between called the MacBook Studio, could sit. You know, maybe it doesn't have an M1 Max, maybe it doesn't have 11 gazillion gigs of RAM, but it does have an HDMI port and MagSafe and three Thunderbolt ports, you know what I mean? And so it's this kind of in-between world where I think it would serve you and my dad really, really well. And given that you're spiritually the same age, Stephen, I think that would be perfect.
Hey.
Yeah, I do think a lot of people have this idea in their head that they plug a lot more things into their computer than they actually do. And I'm sure
that's also very true.
I'm sure, you know, Casey, in your case, you've actually evaluated what your dad actually plugs in. But I think a lot of people are very scared of the idea of an adapter. And especially when people basically they have a laptop that they take places and then they go back and they put it at their desk. And so they plug in all the things, like that's the perfect case for a docking station. People, come on. You know, you plug in one, maybe two cables and you're done. But yeah, I think the other thing that people do forget when they're looking at the MacBook Pro, you know, you've got the 13-inch, you've got the 14-inch, and you've got the 16-inch. Not only do you have the weight differences and size differences between those, have you looked at the chargers? Those things are huge and heavy, and they need all the power. The MacBook Air is very efficient because it's got, what, a 30-watt power adapter in there? And that is something that's small and light, and you can just take it with you. Heck, if you really struggled, you could use, like, your 20-watt charger that you might have bought to use a MagSafe with to charge your MacBook Pro, MacBook Air. I wouldn't necessarily recommend it on the Pro, but you know, with the Nano, with the GaN chargers that are out there and stuff, you can do pretty well. But once you start going up to the, like what I actually consider the professional level with the Max and the Ultra level machines, you're not going to get away with the 65 watt GaN charger from Anker, as small and cute and adorable as that thing may be. It is not going to get you what you need power-wise, unfortunately, if you're actively using the machine at the same time.
Not to make this weird, but Casey, I still really want to hang out with your dad. He seems super cool.
My dad, he is a nerd's nerd. He is a very good guy. He's a very unique fellow, but I love him to death, and he's a good guy. He has a bunch of random and weird stories about just about everything, so I think you two would get along just fine.
All right. Well, thanks for hanging out with me, y'all. I appreciate it. Dear members, if you're not listening to Rosemary and Casey on a regular basis, I don't know what you're doing with your life. Go check out their shows. And thank you for your support of Relay FM. If you're not in the Discord, you should join the Discord. There's a link on relay.fm/membership to do so. And of course, we get a newsletter that goes out every month. It's coming out the same day this is. So check that out. And until next time, bye, y'all.